This is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies, because we're going medieval on these people. Putin's not got a free shot on all these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
I hope you can hear that in Manhattan. By the way, we're live here at the Ahern Hotel. I want to thank Don Ahern, the owner and, of course, founder of this magnificent hotel right here in Las Vegas, Nevada, and George Harris, the CEO, for allowing us to have the Academy. I finally figured out how we can get Cameron, the producer, off his 8 to 12 minute MSNBC cold opens. Open in Vegas, right? Cameron, take notes. Okay, for next 2 hours, we're going to go, we're gonna hopefully Capitol Hill, Russ vote. There's a lot going on in Capitol Hill today. The most important thing that's going on is President Trump took time out away from the kangaroo court to send a tweet out saying, Mike Johnson, nobody speaks for me. Only Trump speaks for him. And he's not happy about where this thing's going. Okay, Jane Zirkle's in the audience. We're going to go to some audience participation. We've got the great Mike Lindell up here. And no, we're not going to start with an infomercial on Lumpy Pillows or free shipping.
From a Cold War room.
good man. Slip it in there. We've got an illustrious panel. We're going to talk about the Supreme Court, but we're also going to intercut with interviews, hopefully, for people with Capitol Hill, the firefight going on there. First question I got to ask you is, how did you guys like and enjoy the first on-the-road Force Multiplier Academy? It's the free meal, right? I didn't even realize. I got to talk to Mo and Grace after. I didn't even realize. Amazing swag. The first war room, did it come with a number two pencil? No, it didn't. Okay, we're going to get that. I want to thank Rob Sick. I want to thank Parker Sick. Harry, take a bow. Harry, our veteran producer. The team in their number two pencils. Okay, first off, we're going to get some guys calling. Russ Vogt's going to come in, so we're going to interchange. That's why I want Mike's guys up here. Mike, give a 2 or 3 minute summary, because all day, we've had ballot chasing. We've had the great Charlie Kirk team at Turning Point USA. President Trump's team's obviously focused on this. Ballot harvesting, ballot chasing. I realize, hey, if it's not, don't turn the ballots in. There's still some contention. But there's not an insignificant amount of our compatriots here that are machine people. Don't want to tip it off. What are you going to show us today? What are we going to be able to, because it's going to be audience participation. You've got the top experts that are up to the Supreme Court. Who do we got, and why are you here?
Well, first I'm going to give you a little backlog of this case. By the way, this is at the Supreme Court right now, and it's up for consideration tomorrow. Tomorrow's the big day, everybody. And
mean by consideration, yeah. The clerks all get together and they see what's in, what's out, what they're going to take up? Because the Supreme Court doesn't have to take it up.
Right. It's whether they accept it or not. It's been docketed a month ago. It's whether they accept it. But I got to give you a little background on the case. Back in the spring of 2022, Kurt Olson, the great Kurt Olson, attorney of Big Hand here, he's fighting for this country. We talked about, let's go at a different angle with these machines. And that, what if you had a car that the brakes didn't work? You get recalled, right? It's called a defective device. So we were going to go, my dream was let's go into all 50 states and we'll go after them with a lawsuit that they're defective devices, okay? We started in Arizona in the spring of 2022. But I'm finding out, you got to have plaintiffs, and then you got to have lawyers within that state. We went from there, and we got to Alabama. But in the meantime, in Arizona, you need plaintiffs. Well, Carrie Lake and Mark Fincham said, we'll be those plaintiffs. And what great plaintiffs they have standing, because they're running for office, right? And I hired other attorneys, and I hired Alan Dershowitz, who's a Democrat. We thought, this isn't a Democrat or Republican thing. It's let's secure our elections and not use these computers, right? So we did that. And if I get the dates wrong, too, who's going to fact check me? Alan Duke, it doesn't matter. So I guess I think it was the summer of 22, the judges ruled, is that right, that they didn't have standing. Is that correct? Yeah, August of 22, they ruled that we didn't have standing. What? How do Carrie Lake and Mark Fincham, the runner for office, they don't have standing? So anyway, and Alan Dershowitz said, well, of course they have standing. I've been around, you've been around forever, you know. And anyway, they really don't have standing. Well, then we all know in the election of 22, 142 machines go down, or 242, over two-thirds of the machines go down. Well, there's kind of a defect there, right? So now, to keep all that aside, whatever they did with the lawsuits there, they just follow this lawsuit. So you go, so then you have this 242 or whatever, it went two-thirds of the machines go down at the same time, and they're defective, right? Don't even say what else. If nobody tampered, that's defection, I would think. Well, anyway, then we brought it before the Ninth Circuit on appeal in Arizona. They affirmed it, that you didn't have standing. And they added one thing to it. They sanctioned the lawyers, including Alan Dershowitz, who he was a coward. And he said, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. And can I say that? I said, okay. Coward.
You already did.
Coward. I already did.
It's like so, Rudy. It's like Rudy, right? Rudy cracks an off-color joke. Can I say that on TV? Sure, Rudy.
So he's a coward. He bows out. But Kurt, these brave people, they kept going because one of the things when you take it to the Supreme Court, because they ruled on that they didn't have standing, you can add evidence to it. And there was evidence discovered this last fall that what you see here today, what they're going to
tell you. You could do that because they said it was the injury was speculative. By the way, do you all guys have mics? Right there.
So under the 28 U.S.C. 1653, for those that are interested in looking up, when there is a issue with
get your number two pencil out.
Yeah.
Got to speak up.
Okay, so if there's an issue with standing or jurisdiction of which standing falls under, you can add new allegations that support standing as long as the allegations relate to events that existed at the time the complaint was filed. We were able to get data from the 2020 election from Maricopa, and that data showed three things. One, that Maricopa's software had been altered. It's a Frankenstein-like creation that has never been certified by the Secretary of State or the EAC, and Maricopa has repeatedly and falsely represented that they're using EAC-certified software to the courts, public, and to the Arizona Senate in that audit. The other thing that they falsely represented was that when they perform logic and accuracy testing prior to the election, and if you don't know what logic and accuracy testing is, it's a statutory requirement, and it's designed to give the public confidence that these machines will actually properly read and tabulate the ballots. And so to that end, you have to have advanced public notice. It can't be performed more than 30 days before the election. You have to have required observers. Maricopa goes through this kabuki theater of logic and accuracy testing. They're required to test all deployable voting equipment. every single one of their 400-plus tabulators that they use. Tabulators are what the ballots are inserted to read and tabulate the votes. It's the critical piece of election equipment. They test five spares. They test five spares. That's expressly contrary to the statute, and they certify that they comply with that statute. That's false representation number two. The third item that we have found is that with respect to every Dominion machine we have seen, that's from Maricopa to Georgia to Colorado to Michigan to Pennsylvania, Dominion leaves in the what's called the election database. There's a table there. These machines are full of tables. In those tables, they leave decryption keys, which are designed to unencrypt data, as well as private keys for secure communications. Clay will be able to talk much more about this. But every single encryption key, there's three keys. Reindel key, remember that word, Reindel key. An X509 security certificate, that's for communication, and what's called an HMAC, the hash management key. And so,
can I interrupt you? I want to say something. Isn't it like having a bank vault and you have the combination written on the vault?
Well, it's yes. It's like
my
saying
ATM
you have
my ATM card where I used to write my password on the back.
It's like saying you have the most secure vault in the history of the world, and putting the combination on a post-it next to it.
Hang on. I just want the Dominion lawyers to know these guys were just wandering by on a bus, and we had to have some fill time. So they're up here. Just please, the guys. No, seriously, Ricker, Bill Gates—not the Bill Gates of the COVID, but Bill Gates of Maricopa County—hasn't over and over and over again. Those guys been challenged, and have we been? I mean, I realize you got new evidence, but haven't we been over this like 20 times? And how come it hasn't been exposed? And why is no one rallying to our cause besides the war room and the war room posse?
So this is the first time that
that's
we have exposed
question, right?
Any of this. It's a fair question.
Okay.
It's never been exposed before with respect to this case and the 2020 election because we just got, and this is Maricopa's own data. These are the tabulator system log files that show that the software they are using has been altered. That's a felony to knowingly alter election software without the approval of the Secretary of State.
I think what Steve's saying, why wasn't it, you just discovered this, right?
Correct.
How could it just get discovered? And even when you file to the Supreme Court, since it's a felony, and I think it's got criminal charges to it, have they come forward and said you're mistaken, or have they come forward and said, oops, you're right? I mean, these are not small allegations you're making in this new addendum to the Supreme Court, correct?
They waived their right to respond to our allegations in the Supreme Court. So they have not directly addressed it in any court.
But they have. They've waived it.
They waived their right to file a response in the Supreme Court. This evidence, and Clay is one of the testifying experts who reviewed the system log files, and Clay has a very unique background. Clay, before he became involved in all of this, was hired by the Voting System Testing Lab, ProVNV. Jack Cobb is the one who started it. From 2008 to 2017 to perform EAC certification testing. So when Clay speaks to an issue with these electronic voting machines, he knows exactly what he's talking about. It's a very funny story. When we had the hearing on the preliminary injunction motion that is the case that's currently before the Supreme Court, we had John come up and testify. We had several other experts, Ben Cotton, Doug Logan, Sean Smith gave a declaration and others. They were, the defendants, Maricopa County, were critiquing Ben Cotton, saying, well, you're not an election machine expert. You don't have any experience with election machines, as if election machines are something special. They're a computer. They use Dell components, Microsoft components. There's nothing special. But that was their line. That was their line of attack. I had met Clay just before that hearing, and when he told me his experience with EAC certification testing,
because he was like a contractor.
I said, this is gold.
Perfect. Okay, we're going to take a short commercial break. We're going to return in the war room. Just a moment. We will break the world.
Hey, folks, if you watch War Room, you know we talk every day about the geopolitical and other forces driving the price of gold. There are actually a couple of reasons this is happening. Let me walk through them. The cost of goods continues to rise despite interest rate controls by the Fed. Since January 2021, cost of living is up 18%. The national debt continues to skyrocket, now significantly north of $34 trillion, causing many to worry when the house of cards will come crashing down, and a presidential election year that will have massive implications on the future of this country. All this adds up to instability and uncertainty, and that is why so many Americans are turning to Birch Gold Group. Have you diversified your savings yet? Secure a portion of them with gold from Birch Gold Group. Secure a portion of your savings now with gold and do it from Birch Gold. Text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898 and get your free information kit. You'll learn how to convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold, and it doesn't cost you a penny out of your pocket. With an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and tens of thousands of happy customers, you can count on Birch Gold also. Just text Bannon to 989898 and claim your free info kit to protect your savings in a time of turbulence, instability, and uncertainty. Do it today. Take action, action, action. Birch Gold Group. Text Bannon at 989898.
Stephen K. Bann.
Welcome back. We're in Las Vegas, Nevada, at the Ahern Hotel, Ahern Luxury Boutique. If you're going to stay at a place, you got to stay at the Ahern. Don Ahern is a huge, huge supporter of President Trump and MAGA. Try to get Don up here in a little while. Can we finish what we're talking about? Because we have some questions from the audience. Russ Vogt's going to join us, and I want to. Oh, real quickly, at the far end, Pat McSweeney. Pat, you're one of the lawyers. And Pat McSweeney, one of the finest lawyers in the United States. How he ever ended up working with Mike Lindell? That's the question. Pat was in the Nixon White House. He's also my mother and his mother were the best of friends. He lived down the block from me when I was a small kid, so he's always been an idol of mine because Pat was always the one going to the best schools in the country, everything. Pat McSweeney, thanks for joining us, brother.
See you later.
Okay, let's finish this because I want to go to the audience.
Well, okay, so I want to, because this is a great story. We are at this hearing with the judge. We have experts. It's for a preliminary injunction to ban the use of electronic voting machines in Arizona. We had telegraphed, because we were required to, the experts we were going to bring, except for Clay. Because I met him after we made the filing, and Clay is our secret weapon. So the defendants get up there and they question the cyber expert, saying, well, you have no experience before Maricopa with electronic voting machines, and implying that they don't know how these things work and so forth. We bring our secret weapon, Clay Parikh. One of the first questions out of their mouth at that hearing is, well, you don't have any experience with electronic voting machines. And then Clay proceeds to tell them, well, actually, I do. And I was performing EAC certification testing for 9 years with these machines. And the defense attorney's jaw just dropped, and he walked away like this. It was the funniest thing I'd ever seen.
Clay, do you have a microphone? Do we have microphones over there? Can you test the work?
Test, test.
Can you stand for a second? I just have one question before we get the audience. Why, and I'm not a machine guy, right? I'm the mail-in ballot guy. I'm open.
You're changing, brother.
I'm changing. I'm open. I'm evolving. Why are the machines so complicated? Why are they so complicated given that they should have a fairly rudimentary? It shouldn't be much more sophisticated than this city counts dollars, right? It should be the moral equivalent of the cash counting machines that every casino in Vegas has used since the 1950s. Am I wrong in that? Why are these machines so because when they start explaining the technology to me, and I can handle technology okay as an investment banker to understand how to finance things, I get totally cross-eyed and lost in this.
Right. So what I want to tell you is why they're that bad, it's intentional. Because I've dealt with over seven vendors, seven of them, If they were that incompetent about software and system design, they wouldn't be able to get their shoes on in the morning and get out their front door. And that's based on my experience. And that's exactly what it is. And I see Mark Cook out there. I've got people in Alabama that work for me, database people that work on financial databases. Every IT professional that looks at these systems is just astounded at how awful and sloppy they are. And it can't be accidental. It's purposely done to confuse everything, and there's a thousand ways in, right, Mark? A thousand ways in.
Why then do you have Bill Gates and Ricker are examples of what's throughout the country? I mean, you went throughout the country, Alabama. Why do all these election officials at the local level all the way up to the state level, and we've had President Trump's head of cybersecurity at DHS continue to buy these machines, buy add-ons to these machines? I mean, remember, Kemp, the governor of Georgia, for 8 years, his job was Secretary of State. That's how he cut his teeth, right, in buying these machines. If they're so awful and so out of the ordinary, why do thousands of election officials, state legislatures, local jurisdictions continue to buy them, continue to have add-on contracts for them, all the way up to President Trump's head of cybersecurity say they're the most secure system you could possibly have?
There's two reasons. One, they're spending your money, not theirs. And two, it got them into power, so why are they going to get rid of something that could cost them their job?
And I would just add, look at what Georgia Secretary of State Raffensperger, if you know going into 2022, he was over 15 points down in the polls. Somehow, he eked it out on Election Day.
51-49.
It never dropped.
Okay. 51 points. I want to add about Brad Raffensperger one thing. You guys realize that Brad Raffensperger in the Curlin case, he was the defendant before the 2020 election to get rid of the machines in Georgia. It's called the Curlin case. That case finally made it this spring where an Obama-appointed judge said, hey, these experts, Alex Halderman and stuff, they looked into machines and they said there's a problem. So we're going to move this case forward. And if you question the machines, you're not a conspiracy theorist. I got to take off my tinfoil hat on national TV. So, and one more thing. That case went to court on January 9th. And Alex Halderman, with a ballpoint pen, flipped the election right in front of that judge. Now, that judge is sitting there right now. That case is over, so she's got to decide, do we continue to use these or not? That Curlin case is very similar to what we were going to do in every state, correct, Kurt?
It's not only similar, it is almost exactly alike in certain aspects of it. Because the first time I met you, Steve, is when we got found a declaration by Professor Halderman, dated September 21st, 2021, in which he found vulnerabilities that were so severe, he was asking the court to unseal the record so he could tell CISA about it, because it was a matter of national security. It wasn't just Georgia's machines. It was machines used in 16 states, including Arizona. And that was a watershed moment. And the judge would not rule for 6 months, and CISA backed off, wouldn't do anything. And Halderman was screaming from the rooftops, this is a danger.
I just want to make sure we can put a pin in something and get it out there that people understand it. This is not just the Trump movement. It's just not MAGA. It's not sour grapes from 2020. The Curlin case had liberals and had Halderman. The way you cut your teeth, Amy Klobuchar in Minnesota, it was Elizabeth Warren. It's the point you make. It was both sides. It was basically the professional politicians class. But the Democrats had huge problems with this before Donald Trump ever thought of being a politician, correct?
Steve, if I may, I've assisted in over 20 states right now, several counties within the states. And I'm telling you, the Republicans cheat in Alabama because they cheat on the primaries. It is both sides. When I talk to people, it's we the people against the Uniparty. The R&D is irrelevant. It is irrelevant.
Does the name Roy Moore strike a bell? Right? You think Roy Moore lost fair and square? No way. They absolutely put their thumb on the scale. So you're convinced in Alabama and other places that are Republican strongholds that this goes on?
It definitely goes on. I can tell you, Meemaw Ivey is not the legitimate governor of Alabama.
And I like the thing in Georgia, you guys in a primary, this nice Democrat lady, three Democrats running, and she got zero votes in her own precinct with her and her husband. Now, if they'd have done it smart, they'd have gave her two votes and said, I'm sorry, ma'am, nobody loves you but your husband. But they gave her zero. If they'd have gave her one vote, they'd be in divorce court.
Hang on 1 second. Before we go to commercial break, let's get some questions in. Jane, you got to speak up so everybody hears you.
Tell your name and where you're from.
Your name and where you're from, what's your question?
My name is Roy Piscadlo. I'm from Salt Lake City. And my question is, the Supreme Court does not have to take this case. If they do not take the case, is there a plan B, C, and D?
Yeah, there is a plan B for sure, which is this new evidence that we have put forward will be used in an injunction to be filed in Arizona. We're not going away because this is
We're
for 2024. They are using altered software and they are falsely saying it's EAC certified. That's false. They are saying they do LNA testing. That's false. And they have these encryption keys that are wide open that allow total access to the machines to change the results in any way without detection. And it violates, so Dominion represents in their contract with all these counties that we've seen that they, quote, protect election data, close quote, with encryption levels called FIPS, Federal Information Processing Standards. Yet they leave these keys unprotected on the election database, except for the Windows login, which is easily bypassed, in plain text. We actually have a video, a very short video, that will show you where you can see this encrypted gibberish all of a sudden magically become readable by applying these keys.
Hang on. If all that's true, why did old man Murdoch write him an $800 million check when the Murdochs throw nickels around like they're manhole covers? Kurt Olson.
Come on, don't pick on Fox. No.
I can't say why he did that. What I can say is it makes no sense. It makes no sense because Dominion's enterprise value, and Steve, you're a finance guy, an $800 million settlement is many, 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 many multiples of what that company was valued at. So why would you do that without really engaging in any discovery? We know, for example, because of Sheriff Darleaf has released emails with Dominion where, lo and behold, they talk about Serbians that are tunneling into the election management system through a VPN, that they're transmitting results through the internet. And here's the kicker. There's an email that was released from Serbian engineers that says, from an engineering standpoint, we don't want unencrypted election data because you can't guarantee the accuracy of the results. Yet they leave the keys right open for anybody.
Okay, hang on. Fabulous question. Audience had a great one. Okay, we're going to have a short commercial break. We're going to be back. Hopefully get Russ Vought up in the war room. Just a moment.
I want to warn you of a huge change that could be coming to our money and our bank accounts. First, think back to 9/11, shortly after the government pushed through the Patriot Act. This gave the government power to spy on innocent Americans by monitoring our phone and email and tracking our movement across the internet. Now, Jim Rickards, editor of the independent financial newsletter Strategic Intelligence and New York Times bestselling author, is warning about a coming event that could elevate this governmental surveillance to a terrifying new level. In fact, some of the guests I've had on the War Room believe that the government will soon expand their powers to track our every move. If we say the wrong things on social media, donate to the wrong causes, buy firearms, or even vote MAGA, the government may be able to shut us out of our bank accounts. I can't say for sure if this will happen, but it's an interesting and dire warning. Fortunately, Jim Rickards, an American patriot and friend of mine, has made it his mission to educate us on what he believes is coming and how to protect yourself from the possibility of programmable money. Watch Jim's warning video now before it's censored like I've been in the past. Go to RickardsWarRoom.com. That's RickardsWarRoom.com now to see the video.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
Yo! Wow. Look at that shot. Amazing. Amazing. You guys have been fantastic. And it's not even happy hour. We're just going to hold off for a while. We're going to get right back to the machines, the Supreme Court, all of it. Just hold our questions. We're going to get right back there. I want to make an announcement. 12 jurors have now been selected in President Trump in the Kangaroo Court show trial in Manhattan. How do you pick 12 jurors in like 2 days? How does he only get 10? I mean, they all watch MSNBC. They all read the New York Times. Is that a jury of his peers? Is it fair? Do you guys think President Trump could get a fair trial in Manhattan? Is this a kangaroo court?
Yes.
Is it a witch hunt?
Yes.
Are President Trump's numbers going to go up because of this?
Yes.
Hang on. Not just being Trump supporters, but as you saw when he went to the bodega, you saw about his connection with the Bodega Society Alliance people in the store. Do you think that if it comes to the sticks every day, and if the war room and you as social media warriors are able to amplify his message, that President Trump's polling can actually go up?
Yes.
Okay. Well, starting Monday, it looks like if they pick some more jurors tomorrow, they got 6 more as the alternatives. It looks like it'll start on Monday, and we got along. That's going to be a 6-week grind because they're going to try to drag this thing out. Something else they're going to try to drag out is now we're into the second year of talking about the $60 billion. Let's go to Russ Vogt. Russ, get us up to speed. Everything's changing on Capitol Hill. Even to speak, Johnson was going to add a increase to the motion to vacate. Do you like that Johnson's trying to pad it so it's harder to get rid of him? Do you support that? But I think that got shot down. Russ Vogt, can you get us up to speed on what's happening?
Sure. It's in real time right now. The House Rules Committee is in what we call recess right now because they're trying to make sure that they get the Democratic votes to be able to override the fact that the three conservatives, Chip Roy, Ralph Norman, Thomas Massie, have said that they will vote against the rule in committee. And so until that gets worked out, and we don't know the play call ultimately that Hakeem Jeffries is going to make, it's probable that he's going to allow the Democrats to vote for that rule, and then it goes to the floor, and we'll see how many Democrats are willing to support it and how many Republican rule individuals will vote against it. And I think right now we've made a ton of progress in educating both on the procedural dishonesty of what he's doing and the reality of how much of a cave this is on behalf of Mike Johnson to move forward in this fashion on this bill.
Look, when you have Tom Massie, who is the leading House Libertarian, if you have Ralph Norman, who's an old school conservative, and Chip Roy, that's one of the leaders, right, in this movement, and one of the big deficit hawks, if all three of those say we're not going to do this and we're not going to vote the rule, is it not historic for a speaker, if this party saying they're not going to move the rule to the floor, to then go to the opposition, to go to the minority leader and ask him to provide the votes in the committee, even to take it to the floor? Is that something that's ever been done in American history?
It is certainly historic in modern times. And honestly, Steve, if you recall, this is why we fought so heavily as a movement with the war room movement to be able to have the rules committee independent of leadership. Because it used to be like this, right? Up until John Kennedy's first year, the Rules Committee was independent. It was like any other committee. And for the first time in the last 2 years, we have drama and independent power that conservatives have. And so we had it at the debt limit, and we have it now. We may not ultimately be able to prevail, but we're having a break on the process for the first time because of this kind of arrangement in allowing these three members to vote uneducated by where Mike Johnson is. So this is big. We're not there yet. We've made tremendous progress. We need to keep lighting the place on fire with the phones and beating back the arguments. The arguments they're making are ridiculous. They're making arguments like, oh, my gosh, there's no way to get Israel any funding if you don't attach it to Ukraine, because that's what Joe Biden has said. That is an unsustainable political position. Everyone knows that. They are only using that as a pretext to be able to use the attack on Israel to get something through that has been delayed for the last several months and over a year now.
And is there any border security at all going to be even mentioned as they try to jam down and try to ram through the Ukraine the funding of the Zelensky's oligarchs? Any discussion at all about securing the southern border?
No, no discussion, because, of course, Steve, if the Senate can object to anything and you as the neocon speaker have decided that you are going to attempt to prop up Ukraine at all costs because you went into a skiff and got scared. As a result of that, if Senate gets to say, no, we're not going to anything that we don't want, we get a veto on it, then it's not going to be in there. And that's the situation we are in. And it's very honestly scary that you have a Speaker of the House that is this compliant by the intel state to go into a skiff. And we've been all in them, Steve, you and I, to go into a skiff and have these types of rudimentary analysis that are given to the Speaker of the House, and it changes, it flips them on a dime, whether it's FISA and the need for a warrant requirement or whether it's the what's occurring in Ukraine. The reality is that Ukraine will not be saved by the whether this package goes through, because there is no amount of U.S. dollars that can prop up reality on the ground. And this is why the neocons are trying to scare the movement, scare these members into voting for it. They don't want this to occur on their watch. And somehow these members are either oblivious to the debate that we've had about what is our national interest in Ukraine, or they just haven't been paying attention like they're an ostrich. But whatever is occurring, we are now come to a head, and somehow we have been able to determine conclusively that Mike Johnson is, in fact, a neocon. And as a result, he's making all of these decisions based on that worldview.
Okay, I just want to ask a question about extremists. CNN this morning had a massive headline that it's the Trump movement. It was America first extremists, war room extremists. Correct me if I'm wrong. The last time I looked, the headcount is a majority of the conference do not want to go forward with Ukraine funding. And now you're telling me, I think the three members on the Rules Committee don't want to go forward to it. So who's the extremist? Is it MAGA that now has convinced a majority of the conference not to go forward with this? And on the even on the Rules Committee that we dominate now with our logic and the rationale of why not to go forward on this? Or is Mike Johnson and these neocons, are they now the extremists because they're working with Democrats? And Biden said he loved all four of these. He endorsed this right away. President Trump had to come out and say, hey, nobody speaks for me. I hate this deal. Where's the Europeans' money, sir?
Yeah, the speaker got a big brush back from the president today with that statement. And obviously, the speaker is moving in governing with Democrats. It's anti-democratic. This is not how you approach your own voters that have made it clear. You think those members just came out of nowhere? They didn't. They came and moved their position and reflected based on the information that they were getting from their concerned citizens, many of them who watch your show. And as a result, you have a majority of the conference that says, we're done with this. This is symbolic of the expectation of U.S. involvement in the world. We're not saying the U.S. can't be a leader in the world or the leader. We're saying that the expectation that we're going to be the third-party payment for an endless war in Europe, when Europe can step up themselves, and that was embedded in very clearly in President Trump's statement today, that notion needs to be rejected. And if the entire international globalist elite community needs to have a collective freakout, then they can go and have that. But that shouldn't change the realities of the votes and the majority in the House that rejects this Ukraine funding. And ultimately, Mike Johnson has created a coalitional government, the likes of which we have never seen from a Republican leader in the House of Representatives, to the extent to which he is aligned with Speaker Jeffries.
And I take it the motion to vacate number has not changed. He's backed off that. He tried to attach that as a addendum, but now he's backed off. So we still have the same procedures that we can move forward on vacating the chair.
It is still the case. The rules are in place, but I would caution us to read the statement carefully. He didn't say that he was opposed to changing it. He said that he didn't have the votes, which suggests to me that he went to the Democrats and they were not willing to change the rule for their own optionality at the line of scrimmage. So I think he was making a statement. I got a lot of fires burning right now. The last thing I want to do is have this hanging over my head right now with members, because I will tell you, if you have members, you know, who are on both sides of the vacate question for good reasons, right? Do you want to go into, you know, 3 weeks on the floor and come out with Mike Johnson the second? Like that's the argument against the other. If you've got members on both of that and he pulls that, he gets rid of a rule effort to get rid of the rule itself. A lot of those members are just going to go in support of the vacate. So I think that's what he was reading. But I think it's important for us to know that that hasn't gone away. And that's going to be something we're going to have to be watching very, very closely, if not in the days, in the weeks ahead.
So, Russ, what is our recommendations to the Warren Posse when they're calling, contacting people? What should be our message today?
Absolutely. Vote against the rule. Vote against the procedural dishonesty. Do not fund the war in Ukraine. And I think that's really important, right? Keep the focus on the main thing that we are opposed to, which is this third-party payment of an endless war. And it is the rule, and you got to be specific, right? Vote against the rule. And everyone's doing a fantastic job of it. When we make these procedural issues cut through the national narrative, the member that's responding is like, I can't believe my voters are registering this much information on the procedural matters. But that's where we win. That's the granularity. That's the moment that you have an ability to let them know, we see exactly what you're doing. We're opposed to it, and you're not going to get away with it. We are in the very hours to see whether we can win or whether we lose over the next the end of the day and into tomorrow.
Russ, what is your social media so people can follow you?
At Russ Vote, and if they go to AmericaRenewing.com, they can also get a primer on the bill itself, which of course is represented in the rule that I just encouraged everyone to call and say that should be taken down.
Russ Vote, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Great work.
Thanks, Steve.
Here's the power of this audience. For the first time in the history of this republic, they've never had people up in their grill talking about the level of specificity and detail. They are freaked out that you even know what the Rules Committee is. They are freaked out that you're sitting there on procedural and process, and you're saying there and you're calling them out. They used to be able to hide behind all that. They can't hide now. That's the power of social media. That's the power of empowering you with information, because I'm telling you, they are scared to death of your phone calls, because now you know exactly what the scam is. Okay, short break. You guys have done it. This is all because of you. You're the ones that held them up. You're the ones that had Trump's back. They would have jammed this through. Short break. We're back to the machines in just a moment.
Now that we are launching into the general election season, Patriot Mobile wants to celebrate with a very special offer, just in case you haven't made the switch to Patriot Mobile today. Until March 31st, you can get a free month of service. That's a free month of service when you switch to Patriot Mobile. All you need to do is stop procrastinating and go to PatriotMobile.com/Bannon. That's PatriotMobile.com/Bannon, and use the offer code SPRING24. That's patriotmobile.com/Bannon and use the offer code SPRING24. That's it. It's that easy. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the progressive left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message, just like you all did on Super Tuesday, that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. The Patriot Mobile team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Remember, Patriot Mobile has 100% U.S.-based customer service. Get your free month of service and get it today. PatriotMobile.com/Bannon. PatriotMobile.com/Bannon. For the free month of service, put in the code SPRING24. That's PatriotMobile.com/Bannon. SPRING24. When you make the switch, you get the free month. Or you can call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Action, action, action.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome back. We are at the Ahern Luxury Boutique in the heart of Las Vegas. For the War Room posse throughout the world, this crowd has been up since, what, 9:30 this morning, Pacific time. Unbelievable. Earlier than that. Been very fired up. Okay, we're very honored to have a member of the Rules Committee himself, Congressman Chip Roy of the great state of Texas. Congressman Roy, what in the hell's going on? Have we blocked this yet or not?
Well, Steve, great to be on. Thanks for all those great patriots out there. Thanks for what you do, bringing the truth out there, because we can't stop the nonsense here without the people. What we're seeing unfold right now is obviously, unfortunately, the Speaker Johnson, is advancing legislation that the vast majority of the people that I represent, I guarantee you everybody in that room, opposes. It's legislation that will fund Ukraine. It will fund Israel. It will fund Taiwan at $95 billion. It has $9 billion that can go to Hamas and Gaza and through the humanitarian assistance. It has $8 billion that can go sit at Ukraine's government for them to use for whatever that's not lethal aid. All of that without securing the border one iota. The speaker tells everybody, hey, I'm going to give everybody a vote. Well, that's nonsense. What this really is a prepackaged effort to deliver the Senate Democrat bill. There's a reason that Joe Biden has said he supports it. There's a reason Chuck Schumer has been bragging about the bill on the Senate floor. So last night we had a separate rule. I want to be very clear. It's very convenient. You got a smart audience. We had two rules. OK, we had a rule last night to bring forward another version of H.R. 2, our great border bill that conservatives fought for last year. They wanted to put that on the floor, watering down and taking out the conservative E-Verify piece and inserting some other provision. They did that, and so Thomas Massie, Chip Roy, and Ralph Norman, we objected. So we killed that rule. We objected because it was a part of the sham. That's the first time that's happened in a long time. And that lit a fuse. And now they're all calling for us to be kicked off the committees, and they're calling for the rules to be changed. And we're all saying, whatever. I mean, make our day, right? We're going to keep fighting. Today, we've got the rule that we went and we had a debate on. There's, I don't know, a couple hundred amendments that have been filed, I think. And some of them are good amendments. They're going through it. But I'm not being invited to the normal discussion about the amendments because I've already publicly said I'm going to oppose this rule. And so have Ralph, and so have Thomas. We opposed the rule. A lot of Republicans opposed the rule. The Freedom Caucus took an unusual, first time ever, I think, official position opposing a rule today, which means you got a large number of the Freedom Caucus that will vote no on the rule. So now Mike is apparently, the speaker, I should say, trying to go get Democrat votes, which is unusual, on the floor and possibly in the committee to move the rule through. We're on recess, on break right now, trying to figure out what's going to happen.
Hold on. I just want to make sure I got this right. Because you and Ralph Norman and Tom Massie said you opposed the rule. You're not even in the room right now looking at the amendment. Something normally the Rules Committee would be doing. You've been kind of banned on this?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to overstate it, but we're very actively involved in trying to figure out which amendments should be brought forward under the rules and germaneness and all that stuff. And my staff is actively involved. And, you know, we pinged them about an hour ago and we said, hey, guys, what's up with the amendments? And they said, what do you mean about the bill that you guys are already opposing the rule? So they're over there making their own decisions on that. They'll follow the basic rules about germaneness and whether they're appropriate and all that. But the real issue is that they're working this to prepackage it regardless of the amendments that get through. They know how the votes will shake out and you'll get a modified version of what the Senate already passed.
What impact did President Trump, I mean, in the middle of this court case, this kangaroo court, for him to have the presence of mind to send something out on Truth Social that says nobody speaks for him, what kind of impact, because that was kind of a shot across Johnson's bow, what kind of impact did that have?
Yeah, a huge impact. I mean, God bless the former president. He's sitting there between freaking like jury pools getting selected in New York by this radical DA, which is completely unlawful, a complete violation of norms, stretching a federal crime into a state crime. It's all a sham. We all get all that. And the president to take the time breaking between all of that nonsense to make this statement is really important. He believes, as I do, that sure, there's a world in which you could figure out making sure there's appropriate lethal aid if they're actually lethal aid. But I want everybody out there in the audience to remember the $113 billion. I want to repeat. The $113 billion that's already been appropriated for Ukraine, only $44 to $47 billion of that, two different reports I've seen, is lethal aid. So what was the other $66 to $69 billion for? If they had held that back and used it responsibly, then maybe they'd still have money to come over and try to buy the stuff they need. I want to get into the details in terms of classified stuff, but the stuff that they need to continue to fight. So, you know, that's what they did. And so now we're trying to be responsible. We want to secure the border. We're, as the president is, look, I'll listen to you on what you need for lethal aid. We don't want to see Putin march through Kyiv, but you aren't putting America first and you aren't being responsible of the money. So the president is exactly right. Don Jr. is exactly right. This is a complete capitulation by the speaker. It's completely irresponsible. And we, you know, he basically got set up last fall because we were fighting the establishment here. And now he's walking away. He walked away on FISA. How on earth can the speaker pass one of the tie-breaking votes to prevent us from having a warrant with respect to FISA? It makes no sense.
Chair, real quickly, what is your marching orders here for the War Room Posse today?
Yeah, I mean, like, just make sure every single congressman that you all live in their districts, call your congressman, call your senators, but particularly your congressman, and say, look, you should not be voting for this. You need Republicans to vote against this rule. You need Republicans to vote against the bill on final passage. They should oppose this because of simple reason. One, we are not securing the border of the United States. Why would we secure Ukraine's borders or anybody else's borders before we secure our own borders? Make sure they know that. Call them, tell them, let them know you do not support it. Make it loud. Make sure they understand it, and make sure they know that the former president agrees that this is not the way we should be doing it. Don Jr. agrees. A whole lot of people out there. Charlie Kirk's been out there talking about it. Bannon's been talking about it. Everybody out there that I talk to is a conservative. They get it. And I know there's people in the audience. You probably have different views out there, right, about Israel, about Ukraine, and everything else. Why? I know that because conservatives have varied views. But don't listen to the BS that, oh, this is all about open process and regular order. We're going to let there be a bunch of votes on the floor. No, there's not. That's not true. They're going to package it all together and jam it. They're going to package it all together and jam it through and send it to the Senate.
Chip, what's your social media? Where do people go to get you?
Chip Roy, TX, CHIPROYTX on Twitter, or my official account is Rep Chip Roy. Thanks, everybody. God bless America. God bless y'all.
Chip Roy, short break. Back to the
Tax Network USA is pure war room for solving your IRS tax problems. If you owe back taxes, COVID was your lucky break. Tax court shut down, the IRS paused, and you skated. Well, baby, that party is over. The IRS is adding 20,000 enforcement agents, basically tax cops. Honest, hardworking Americans like you are in the crosshairs. Rich people have tax lawyers, and you don't. You'll pay up, plus interest and penalties. Tax USA Network has brilliant war room type strategies designed to solve your IRS problem quickly in your favor. Never call the IRS yourself. You're at their mercy. You could sit on hold for 6 to 8 hours and get hung up on, grind you for all your back taxes, plus interest and penalties. Tax Network USA attorneys have a preferred direct line to the IRS. They know which agents to talk to and who to avoid. If they get difficult agent, hey, they just call a different agent. Tax Network USA learned of a limited time special IRS offer. The IRS is willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. Find out if you qualify before it's too late. Schedule your free confidential consultation with Tax Network USA. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. Think about that. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. They offer a best-in-class client satisfaction guarantee. Now call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000. And visit Tax Network USA. That's TNUSA.com/Bannon. TNUSA.com/Bannon. Make sure you take action on this today. This IRS grind is only going to get much worse.
War Room at checkout to save 67%. And do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.